Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, the 18th of December. The time is just gone 4.5 minutes past 10, which means it is Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs program with a panel of invited guests. We're discussing the issues of the day today. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page, if you wish to leave a post, is Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. On today's show, going to be doing a variety of subjects, including the latest developments in the ongoing saga of Brexit. We'll be looking at what's happening in Catalonia ahead of what promises to be an interesting day on the 21st of December. When we, if time allows, we may have a quick look at the what's been happening in France over the past couple of weeks with the yellow vests. And also, as well as discussing some interesting words, we will be looking into our crystal balls and finding out what we're looking for to in 2018 and what has been the story of what's happened in 2019, thank you, and what's the story of, I've only had one coffee, and what the story was of 2018. Before further ado, we're going right to left today, I think is the way we'll go, if you'll pardon the expression, starting off with Claudio Natale. Not that you're on the right there, Claudio, but
good morning, Giles, how are you doing?
I'm very well.
Nice to see you.
You too. Ros and Scott Gibb joins me.
Yes, the thorn between two roses. Morning, everyone. Morning, Giles.
Is it good to see you? And on the left,
first time I've been called a rose.
Indeed.
Don't knock it. Could be worse.
And it's
good morning.
Festive Elf Brewer.
Yes, Elf Brewer.
Elf Brewer. We missed that one on the earlier, so there you go. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp us on +34 645 99 67 95. Would love to hear from you this morning. Let's have a look at the front pages in the UK and further afield. It's impossible to escape the twists and turns of Brexit. The Times and the Daily Telegraph have the identical headline: May dares Corbyn to call a vote of confidence. In what the Times says is an attempt to wrong-foot the Labour leader, Theresa May has rejected Jeremy Corbyn's call for a vote on her own performance. Instead, Mrs. May has offered parliamentary time for debate if it is a full vote of confidence in her government. The Telegraph says that Mrs. May has made a calculated risk after securing the backing of both Tory Brexiteers and the Democratic Unionist Party to stop MPs approving such a motion, one that could bring down her government. The sketch writers get stuck into both party leaders after yesterday's events in the Commons. In the Times, Patrick Kidd mocks Jeremy Corbyn's apparent indecision on whether or not to call a vote of no confidence in Mrs. May, saying the Labour leader thinks tactics are little mints in a box with a flip-top lid. He also suggests that by tabling a confidence vote, Mr. Corbyn might have made the Prime Minister's position more secure. In The Guardian, John Crace writes that Mrs. May has spent every Monday afternoon in the Commons trying to defend her Brexit negotiations with ever-diminishing success and is falling apart in front of our eyes. In the Daily Mail, Quentin Letts is scathing about what he calls the pro-EU nutters. He goes on to say that when they began raging at Mrs. May, she did what she always does. She went into the sort of defensive ball in a hedgehog that a hedgehog will assume when being shouted at by terriers. The precarious state of the retail fashion industry gets plenty of coverage. City AM and the Financial Times report that fashion stocks have taken a tumble across the board after a profits warning by the online clothing giant ASOS. The pre-Christmas trading struggles are also the lead story in the Daily Mail. It describes companies as resorting to panic sales in what it calls a desperate attempt to drum up business. It says that online giants such as ASOS and Boohoo are offering dresses, tops and skirts for jumble sale prices at less than £5. And there are problems too for Victoria Beckham's fashion label, according to several papers. Daily Express says that we are in a nation of crisis, by the way. The front page of The Sun declares we're in a nation in crisis. But if you were expecting another Brexit story, you'd be wrong. The issue is, in fact, the new eco-friendly tea bags apparently split in your cuppa and ruin it. The paper says that Yorkshire Tea has found itself in hot water. See what they did Thank you. With customers complaining that the biodegradable sachets fall apart. The story continues on the inside papers with a somewhat predictable headline, Storm in a Teacup. So a quick look over. I'm glad that's tickling your fancy, Ross. So looking at the front pages then, just kind of a quick look over again. Daily Star, Yob called Jesus smashes up church. He's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy. Brew Fools, that's the Cuppa story. And also Corrie Starr to die in Undy Factory Horror. Spread to my caught me. And also, Megan's dad begs Queen to heal family rift. Looking at the front page of the web page of El País, in English, why Spain's bilingual schools are full of teachers with poor English skills, Catalan pro-independence groups, now is the time for action, we'll come to that story, and Madrid and London drafting deal to preserve voting rights after Brexit, Spanish foreign ministry wants to ensure that UK migrants will be able to vote and run for office in local elections next May. And those are your Spanish and UK headlines. So we'll begin, as we often do, with the continuing story of Brexit and where we are. We've had a vote of no confidence. It was put before Theresa May by our own party. Jeremy Corbyn yesterday called for the same thing as for the whole of Parliament. Alf, your take on this?
Let's quantify what you said, Giles. The twists and turns of Brexit. I see no twists. I see no turns. It's arrow straight, and they're heading straight for the wall. You know, there's been no variation. There's been no new words. There's been no negotiations. There's been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing between Brussels or wherever she keeps going, back to Parliament. But there's absolutely no movement from the original agreement. And there will be no movement. My prediction, if you recall, what would it be, 19 months ago, was there's only one thing the UK will end up doing, and that is we'll end up pulling out of the EU with no deal and saying to Europe, you don't care about us, you don't want us, and we'll suffer the consequences. Now, for the people who are Remainers, like myself, that's a really important issue because it doesn't collectively look after us. But with all the nice words going on, irrespective of the outcome of the negotiations, you foreigners will be looked after, whether you're foreigners in England, in the UK, or foreigners in Europe, British in Europe. All of this, you know, mealy-mouthed words that can't be true. You cannot treat British people in Spain any different to British people in Australia when it comes to old age pensions. Therefore, there can be no increase in the pension. Otherwise, you're mistreating one group against another group. You know, all these so-called minor things. If you're talking about, you know, big business, commerce, big corporations, yeah, of course they have their issues. But we said all the way through the piece that the people who have the biggest say and the biggest influence and will manipulate things will be industry. It will not be the people. And they'll ameliorate the people by saying nice words like, oh, your health services are all right. Oh, your pensions are all right. Oh, this is all right. Well, for a Brit living in Spain, I think most of the listeners will understand, the exchange rate is now, you know, heading back to one for one. That means for me as an individual, I've lost about between 20 and 25% of my spending power in Spain. You know, that's massive. And that isn't even with anything happening. That's just with a referendum and governments making the wrong noises. So there are no twists and turns. This is absolutely true. And if I was a real cynic, I'd say, and the straight is, it's going straight into the ground, it's going to be buried, and next March we'll all be sitting there saying, we told you so. And you know, with all due respect, Theresa May and her government and the cabinet are looking at a no-deal Brexit today, sitting. If you don't believe that the civil servants have been looking for a no-deal exit from day one, then you don't understand what the civil service are about. They will always have had a plan for all different arrangements. And the only other thing I'll say politically about that is Corbyn. You know, Where can the Labour Party go? You know, people who know me know I'm not a Corbyn fan, but where can the Labour Party go? As many people voted in as out in the Labour Party, whatever decision they arrive at, 50% of their supporters are going to not agree with it, whatever you do. So he does it. I do accept, however, he should have either kept quiet and not threatened the vote of confidence, because he hasn't anyway. What he's done is not a vote of confidence in the Prime Minister, because it doesn't mean anything parliamentary-wise, which is why the Tories have ignored it. Number 10 said, we're not giving time to this. This is just trick stuff. And he hasn't got the ability to deliver on it, because they don't know what the DUP are going to do. What's his name? Rhys Mogg's been on the telly this morning saying, you know, whatever our differences were then, I'm going to be supporting Theresa May. Yeah, so there's no value in Labour pushing this, because they ain't going to get anywhere. And so that's what's right. And one last issue that you brought up, Yorkshire Tea.
Yeah.
Is this the return of the tea strainer?
We'll have to come to that. I think we'll leave that to the end of the show, such heavyweight matters as that. We're a little bit festive today. Rosalind, your thoughts on where we are with the continuing saga?
Yes, exactly. Well, I must say, yes, we haven't really moved forward at all. And I actually think the Brussels has been extremely patient and tried to be as helpful as possible in assisting May to kind of move forward. But she keeps going back to them with nothing, with no changes, no adjustments, nothing. And I can't, I can't understand why she's so totally 100% against another referendum. I mean, I don't even understand why the Brexiteers are against it. If they're so sure that they've got the majority and that they're right, then why would they mind having another referendum? And that we've gone through all the reasons why a second referendum would be a good idea, with more information available, a lot of older people perhaps gone and younger people voting now, and just more general awareness. I just can't see the harm of it. And I think this will come back. And, you know, she'll never really recover from this. The euro is strong. The EU is very strong. What's happening is the UK is looking ridiculous. And the EU is gaining strength within itself and respect. So it's just a terrible, terrible mess. And she's just trying to make sure nothing happens until she has a vote mid-January. But there won't be any change. Why not have another referendum? That's what I say.
Thank you, Rosalind. Claudio, your thoughts on where the UK is and your perspective on where they are with Brexit?
Well, I do feel sorry for Theresa May in a way, because whatever she does, she'll be doomed. She can't really get anything right, and there'll always be one side that slates her. Whether she passes a deal, there'll always be the Commons rebels who'll be against her and her party. Then there'll always be the Remainers that will attack her, then the Leavers. So whatever she does, it will never make everyone happy, and there'll always be a big number of people that are against her and that want her head. So she's in a very difficult situation, because if she does a second referendum, okay, it would cause a lot of division, perhaps with the Brexiteers and the Remainers. They'd say, well, it's just going to cause more instability and delay the whole process, and after all these negotiations. So, and if she goes back to Brussels without any new ideas of what can go along, I just think, like, one doesn't have to be too dramatic. They will reach an agreement. It might take time. I personally don't see a no-deal Brexit happening, because everyone in government and business knows the consequences. And even if they do leave in March without a signed deal, I think there will be some type of extension to adhere to EU law. It's so, but especially the customs union. So even if they leave without a deal, there will be some type of arrangement to avoid chaos and collapse, let's say.
Some sort of arrangement to avoid chaos and collapse. Perhaps the next caller will help us out on that one. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I'm Kate Costa-Blanca. Just to tell the last speaker not to waste too many tears of sympathy for May, because she volunteered for the job. She was very happy to have the job. She thought she could do it. She might, it's not impossible, she might pull off a Brexit deal. Let's hope not. But she, most of the problems have been those of her own making and her own judgment. And, you know, she couldn't have been in a better position. She was following someone who was heartily disliked and despaired of by getting the country in this position. No one needed a referendum. He was frit of the Brexiteers, or losing Tory votes to too many loudmouthed Farangists. So, basically, there's no argument against the second referendum. I just spent some time trying to talk to two Brits about that yesterday. Really, if it is such an important issue, which it is, you need to double check that people really meant what they said.
Just honestly, just before we get into loads of people bringing up saying about second referendum, simple questions. What do people think will be achieved by having a second referendum that we didn't get in the first referendum? Remember, I'm a Remainer. I'm a person who voted in 75 or 6, wherever it is, to join the EEC. I've been a supporter of Europe ever since. But I cannot understand why people keep saying a second referendum will not achieve. It would just say, oh, let's have the best of three, or let's have the... I'm seriously sorry, because you said, oh, and if we have another one, there might be more youngsters and old people. This was the biggest single turnout of any election in British history, and you're now questioning whether enough young people voted. Enough people did vote, and you have to talk to people and understand, and there isn't, oh, this is about this, and this was about that. You know, my simple view, it was always about immigration. It was never about all the rest of it.
The facts were wrong on the whole thing about immigration.
There wasn't any facts. There wasn't any facts.
Well, exactly. People voted with their heart and not
to the British
with their
people
head.
And say, let's bring back hanging. I guarantee you would get a majority in favour of bringing back hanging. It doesn't make it right that you go to the people. And Kate was quite right. Don't keep blaming May. Don't blame the Tory party. Blame Cameron and blame UKIP, because they created this. Cameron was about keeping himself in a position with the Tories in power. You know, politics is about the art of achieving things. You can only achieve it if you're in power. So he was right to do it, but what a state he's left our country in. Stop blaming all the others. He did it for his own self-interest, and he did it to stop UKIP from destroying and defeating the Tory party.
And we go live to the lines. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, it's Alan in Marbella.
Good morning, Alan.
Alf, you're talking so much sense. You and I in the past may have been on opposite sides of the fences negotiating, but you're talking a lot of sense. Roslyn, you said, why are the Brexiteers afraid of a referendum? They don't need one. They've got what they want. They've got the country leaving the EU. And as Alf said, if you had another one and it went to Remain, then it becomes best of three. Where do you stop? Best of three, best of five, best of seven? It could be a snooker competition by the time you finish there. It is a mishmash. The UK will be far worse off. They've got to stop arguing about this, that and the other and just make the best deal they possibly can out of it, which is not going to be a good deal, whatever happens. Alf, you're speaking so much sense. You are dead right. Cameron got us into the problem by trying to protect himself, thinking he's going to get a vote on his side. The UKIP didn't know what they were talking about. They were making all the right noises to try and gain votes. And poor old Theresa May, not my favourite person, but I think she's just become a sacrificial cow.
Thank you very much for calling that, Alan. Ross?
Well, I'd just like to say that I don't think the Brexiteers are getting what they thought they wanted anyway. So nobody's going to be happy. Everybody loses. The EU loses, and Britain definitely does lose. I agree completely with what Kate said. And a second referendum would be different. We're 2 years down the line. There's a lot more information available. People can see clearly where the economic situation. A lot of banks have left. A lot of companies have gone. The pound is down already. Doctors are leaving the country. Nurses are leaving. People should be much more aware of the consequence of Brexit.
And we go live to the lines again. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint? What's your viewpoint, please?
My name is Lenny, and I'm phoning from Kelpie.
Good morning, Lenny.
And I must go against everything that Elf said. And what it is, Theresa May has got all the problems that she has got because she, from day one, she never put a united negotiating team together. Now, you ask Elf, when he went into negotiation, you always go in united, and she didn't. And put it plainly, we were getting divorced from Europe, and Theresa May put the wife's parents on the negotiating team, and that is it, against the husband, and that is it, you know. And she, from day one, all the negotiations have been done so amateurish. You do not talk about money until you know what you're getting. When do you walk into a shop and put £100 on the counter and then negotiate what you're going to get? And that was it. No united and talking about money first. That everything should be done, you know, later down the road, you know, the money situation. And I never voted. I voted to leave. Because when Cameron came back with his tail between his legs, when all he wanted was some flexibility, that showed me that Europe is not a democracy. There's no democracy there.
Thank you for your call in there. Getting live to the lines again. One more time. Good morning. Call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. Brian.
Good morning, Brian.
Hi there. Hi to the team. Just to summarise my thoughts on Farage in 30 seconds. He started all this, you know, donkeys years ago, and I think he's a right-wing extremist. I think he's an idiot as well. He's bombastic. He when he's in the European Union, you know, in the chamber there debating, he calls them, you know, everything under the sun, including a bunch of idiots. They've never worked in their life. So all that hasn't helped at all in our, because he would appear to some people as representing the thoughts of the people of Britain. But anyway, he hasn't got an MP in Parliament. He had one, and he left the party and joined the Conservatives. He's had three resignations, including himself from UKIP recently because of the extreme right wing, undesirable. You know, now you know playing a big part in the party. It's been a disaster. He has got nowhere politically except for his big mouth. And he's achieved a lot there because people, he is quite, you know, impressive when he's behind the camera and you know, he does influence a lot of people. As far as the Brexit, all these debates now that's gone on, and I watched the whole thing yesterday because I'm recuperating from the hospital and I got time to sit down and just watch all this anyway, apart from which I do have the interest, Giles. But yesterday, May, she, if you remember, Kenneth Clark said she was bloody obstinate. That's the word that he used. And I've never seen such obstinacy in my life as I saw her yesterday. A lot of people on both sides, you know, I mean the Labour and the Conservatives, were saying to her categorically, look, let this vote go through now, this week. And that will be a decision, you know, that we will all know where we're going. But every single one, apart from a few Conservatives, Giles, said, we will not vote this. You know, they've decided they will not vote for this deal that she's done. So she knows she's going to carry on until next month and have the vote on the 14th of January. What does that mean? It will fail. And then we're getting nearer and nearer to the 29th of March. Some of the people, for example, Jeremy Corbyn said, you know, give way, let us, you know, take over, we will negotiate, we will go to, because he thinks, Corbyn thinks that he can go to the European Union and talk to Tusk and all the rest of the people, the Juncker, and say, well, I've got a wonderful deal, you know, I want this and I want that. They have said, you know, that they've become actually obstinate themselves now because they're fed up with the way the British have handled all this. And I don't blame them, quite honestly. And I think that from what I witnessed over the last few weeks on watching the debates in Parliament, and that's the most authentic way you can pick up any information about it, they're a bunch of idiots, Giles, the whole lot of them, Conservatives, Labour, the Liberal Party, all they want is a re-vote or a people's vote. That's what all they've got to contribute. The Scottish Party, the SNP, they're as bombastic as ever because, I'm not in any way meaning that in a disrespectful way, I mean bombastic in their argument. And all they want is another referendum, really, to have their own independence, which they would never get as long as May was the Prime Minister anyway. And they want, in fairness to the Scots, they did vote to remain. And so did Northern Ireland, and yet all this has been imposed on them. The expatriates out here, and other countries like France, Germany, Belgium, wherever they're living, as Alf said, my pension is dramatically down. Why should people suffer because of all these, you know, these people who are right-wing extremists who kicked it all off, and they still are? And one last comment, or one only last comment about Rees-Mogg. 3 days ago, he was calling for May, irrespective of the fact that she won the no confidence vote. He said she should go to Buckingham Palace now and see the Queen and resign. He also said something very derogatory about her a day or two ago. Now, suddenly, he came out last night and stood up and he said, I will be supporting the Prime Minister. I mean, it's all circus stuff, you know, and I'm fed up with it all, Giles.
Well, just to let you mention Ken Clark, he's just tweeted in the past hour, in the tea room, reading the FT, drinking my usual English breakfast with a dash of milk. Meanwhile, Jeremy Corbyn has spent the last 15 minutes standing at the till trying to decide which herbal tea he's going to have. Thank you for your call in there, Brian. We go live to the lines. Good morning, calling you live on... That's why we don't have the webcam, Alf. Live to the lines, 952-784-1000. Good morning, calling you live on TRE. Thank you for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's John from Islington.
Good morning, John.
Morning to you. Young Brian lives just down the road from me, so I'm going to have to treat him to a lunch and try and boost his morale. but listening to most of the stuff, which is nonsense. But I heard, I'm not going to fall into the trap, St. Rosa, and I forgot what it is. Rosalie, is it?
Rosalind.
Rosalind, sorry, I do apologise, Rosalind.
And Johnny. Say,
you're talking about the UK economy. But you're obviously not up to date. What's been happening is quite frightening. What's been happening? We had the French PMI out last week, estimated to be 54.4, was 49.7. And you also forget something that we have what I've been, unfortunately, I hope it's not going to come true. I've been predicting the market crash and the EU won't survive, but it won't. And we've had a 1,000-point fall in 2 days on Wall Street, coupled with this, the 2,000 or 3,000 points we've had recently. We're now wiped out all the gains in 2018. The IMF are talking about the worldwide economy is down, but nobody takes any notice of the IMF or Moody's or the S&P anymore anyway. But another point I'd like to make is Alpha's talked about negotiating teams. I've never seen anything so stupid. Anybody who has Mrs. May and the supercilious civil service negotiating a trade deal, then you compare that to Trump, who's won everything he's got because he just goes for simplistic terms of a trade deficit. And where he's gone for a trade deficit, he's won concessions. I wonder what's going to happen when he comes to the EU. But effectively, who has he got? He's got himself as a businessman, but he's got a corporate giant in Wilbur Ross negotiating for him, and an alpha male attack dog. What do you call him? A bloody Rottweiler, in the name of Peter Navarro. I mean, they're negotiating for him. They start right at the top and work down. We started at the bottom and tried to beg to work up. It's quite ridiculous. But we've seen situations that are building up, and this is the one thing we've all got to remember. And I personally would vote Remain, as you know, not for good reasons, just for personal reasons. But, you know, you've got a situation coming up where if we do go into a bit of a meltdown, and I hope we don't. I thought we had another 2 or 3 years, but things move fast in world markets. If we do have a bit of a meltdown, who the hell is going to help pay out the debt of Italy? Nobody's going to do it. Germany won't. The ECB will attempt to do it, but they're going to have to go the begging bowl to the Bundesbank, who are the most conservative bank in the world. It's going to be very, very tricky, and I think that And we've had problems. The first disunion we've had with the European Union has been the immigration, where all the barbed wire went up. Just shows you how much of a union it is. But what's going to happen when it comes to money? That might be even worse. Worst scenario. So it ain't all roses. And don't forget, Rosalind, that the UK has a $100 billion trade deficit with Europe. And what's happened is our negotiators have never put this back to the peoples of Europe, where it's going to affect their jobs. And if you think the people of Europe are going to allow a couple of bloody toffee-nosed bureaucrats to destroy their business, as I said to you before, thousands of lorries on there, the vast majority will be European lorries going back to Europe to bring goods in. And I don't think Le Tunnel, as it's called, is owned by the French. They're not going to stand up for a couple of toffee-nosed bureaucrats who are well-hated. We're well hated in Europe anyway. And, you know, you've got a situation where this could really bring Macron down. And he's only got, you know, the emperor's lost his clothes. All he has is a loincloth left now. I mean, that would bring him down, and it could put France into the hands of the extreme right wing. And that's what could be the catalyst. Anyway, I'll leave you with that.
Thank you very much indeed. Some good points well made. Rosalind, do you want to come back with some points there?
Johnny, just to state one. One point.
Let's call him John.
He said he preferred to be called Johnny.
Right, okay.
Giles.
Fine. Okay.
He said so.
I don't mind at all.
I prefer John. I think it suits you better. Just to suggest that my figures actually came from Fareed Zakari yesterday, and he's an economist with the Washington Post. So they're not out of date, because he's on top of everything.
Hello?
Yes.
Can I reply to that?
Yeah, you can reply to that.
Well, basically, I don't know what he was talking, I didn't listen to him, but he's talking probably regarding the regarding the U.S. economy, which is still pretty good, and the banks are pretty strong. We're the opposite. And and so basically, Europe, I mean, anybody would tell you if you follow, unfortunately, I don't mind being called John, but that's my real name, not Johnny Hot Rocks, put you off. But effectively, Europe is in a much different state compared to the U.S. The U.S. has had a hell of a drop in the last few months. As I say, we've wiped out all the gains. You've had 33% falls, 20-odd percent falls in the finance industry. Now the REITs and everything are starting to crumble, and they're in a far better financial position than Europe. We're in a very tricky situation here. And I said, I hope I'm wrong, but I've seen every crash for a long, long time, and now the speed of them and the speed of the thoughts about it, you know, where it happens now thousands of points. In those days, we never had this. But now it happens very, very quickly, very, very dangerous, and we all go for the exit doors at the same time. I mean, many of the hedge funds are closing because they're not making any money. It's very, very tricky times. The economy in Europe, all the last figures we've had, only had them this week, have all been extremely poor. We had a figure out today from Germany. Germany is now, its growth is less than the UK at the moment. On the last figures. It's very, very dangerous times, and I'm a little bit frightened, to be honest with you.
Thank you for calling. We're going straight to the other lines. Thank you for holding. Caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Is it finally me?
It is finally you.
Jesus, when do you get over a time limit in this discussion?
Good to have you with us, Hans. Always spreading cheer on this Christmas special viewpoint.
I always need to throw two tranquilizers in before I go into this program, because a part of the nonsense been talking. Well, look, my neighbor from Kalpe, I just don't understand how someone can say the European Union is not democratic, because they haven't given these concessions to Cameron. In my opinion, an organization is democratic when 28 countries have got the same rights because they have the same desire. And when he said it was good to vote leave, because the European Union is not democratic, because 27 countries did not give in to Cameron. The Brits moaning since ever they joined. Everybody knows. And now they wanted some special fishing rights and some immigration policies and whatever the hell they wanted to. And 27 other countries, they might maybe want the same, because Spanish are also fishing and immigration problems are in Austria. So why does he say it's not democratic because Cameron didn't get everything what he wanted to? I cannot understand. And the second point to Alf, I don't think it was only Cameron's fault, Alf. One man only couldn't run this show. In my opinion, this was the fault of the Tory party, because instead of saying, okay, we are losing votes out to UKIP due to these immigration policies, we have to get strong and we have to do something on the other side, maybe to gain votes from the Liberal Democrats or from the Labour Party, to remain in power. And not only just blame all the time only one man, Cameron. No, it's the whole conservative elite in Europe which is tempted to go this route.
Of course, it's never one person, and of course there would have been a group of people. Don't say the Conservative Party, because that's a huge organisation. And if 5% of those people had an input, I would be very, very, very surprised. And,
half of the Tories are voting for leaving?
No, it's of course they voted for the leadership, but it's about...
How many Tories voted to leave?
No, they didn't. No, they didn't vote to leave. 50% of them voted to leave and 50% of them voted to stay. And the same with the Labour Party. The only places where it's really clear cut is Northern Ireland and Scotland, where the parties both said, we want to stay, and the people said, we want to stay. The rest of Britain, including Wales, because you can't really separate, the rest of Britain said, we're half in and we're half out. So you cannot keep saying. And also, people who say, oh, people did this. So I think it was Rosalind said, you know, the Brexiteers never got what they thought they wanted. What are you talking about? They wanted to leave Europe. They will leave Europe on March the 29th next year. They got everything they wanted.
NHS.
No, they got everything they wanted.
NHS.
You can put whatever you think.
One very last comment. I'm afraid that John is pretty right. The European Union will have it very difficult to survive the way it is going now. And the Brits will be maybe the undertaker of the whole thing and will be remembered.
Of course. But you have to take one point at a time. And you say these things. And John said, something about I mentioned negotiating teams. Yeah, I'll make it quite clear. The civil servants have always negotiated the major trade deals across the world for centuries. This isn't something that's happened in the last 5 minutes. And America may have a different style of the people they use, but it's the American government that negotiate the trade deals. It's led by an individual. And in this case, in Britain, it's led by the British government and the British Prime Minister, which is why they send foreign secretaries off and trade ministers off and whoever they send off to do it. But it's effectively done by the civil service. And the one thing that people are missing, there ain't no negotiations going on in Europe for a trade deal. There is already something happening in Europe on trade. What they're trying to do is come up with a contract that continues certain aspects of that trade, like free trade or one market or whatever they want to call it. But it will always be driven by the civil servants. And one last thing, because Brian says it. Brian knows me of old. These people like Farage or whatever, they're not idiots. They're not idiots. They're all intelligent people. You may disagree with them and you may not agree with the direction they're going, but they're not idiots because they get there. And why we put it at Farage? Farage was an influencer. He didn't know more than Cameron. They're people of influence. People have to agree with them in order for a movement to start. Farage started a movement that snowballed into 3 million votes. Cameron and the Tory party were frightened to death that they would never be in power if the UKIP people then drifted off into their own thing. And yes, they only had Carsley, and he wasn't elected originally. He changed from Tory to UKIP. He's the MP for the Clacton area. I don't even know what they call it now. But you can't keep on billeting this stuff into little sound bites because it's not true. And I'll say it once more and quite clearly: the Brexiteers got what they wanted. I want to leave Europe. You are. March the 29th, you will leave Europe. What he does to the rest of us, they don't really care about. Whatever Rosalind thinks.
This is Talk Radio Europe.
Online at tre.radio.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
And you are back with Alf Brewer, Ros and Scott Gibbon, Claudia De La Torre. We go straight to the lines, 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where you're calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Raymond from Mallorca.
Good morning, Raymond.
Good morning. First of all, I would like to say I share the viewpoint of the Spanish studio guest, whose name I can't get.
Claudia.
I think there will be some kind of provisional arrangement so that we continue. I don't think it will be just the doors are closed on the 29th of March and that's it. I don't think we'll reach a formal agreement. I can't see that happening just yet. But it will be, as the guest said, it'll be things will continue in a sort of provisional way, yeah? Now, as far as the European Union goes, obviously people who voted to leave are convinced that the European Union is disintegrating and in terrible trouble. As far as the Italian national debt goes, it's the second largest in Europe. England's, the UK debt is number one. Italy is number two. Now, what's happening in the European Union is it's not going to disintegrate. It's simply changing. If we draw a line from north to south, right down the centre of the Union and look to the east, we will see countries like Hungary, Austria, Italy. We'll also see the Czech Republic. We'll see Poland. We'll see countries that are far right and are actually forming some kind of association, if you like. And we can see this line heading west. We see now the recent demonstrations in France, which haven't stopped. We see that Macron's popularity is down to 20%. It's not impossible for Marine Le Pen to actually win the next election. We also see the rise of the far right in Germany. We see in the Swedish general election recently, we see that the far right party lost that election by one single seat. Next time they'll win it. And we all know the agenda of the countries I mentioned, Italy, Austria, Hungary, etc., and countries like Sweden, like Holland, the agenda there is immigration. It's nothing to do with immigration with the movement within the EU. It is immigration from outside of the EU. We all know this. And I agree with the people who believe that people voted to leave the EU because of immigration in the UK. I believe this firmly. I believe it totally. But what I've never been, I'd like some feedback on this one. What I've never really understood is quite simple. You have people who talk about immigration. You have people who talk about Polish people and Romanians going to the UK. That's all they ever talk about. The current immigration figures for this year, and their official figures, it's about 48,000 people have gone into the UK from the European Union. About 248,000 people have gone into the UK from outside of the European Union, predominantly in the Indian subcontinent. We all know what that means. And these figures have been like this for a long, long time. Why is it that no one dares to really approach the issue? Why does anybody ever talk about immigration from outside of the EU, as many EU countries are doing and have dealt with by closing their borders? And the countries I mentioned earlier, they are the ones who close the borders, including Austria, Italy. These countries have closed, yeah? And more will join suit. So my prediction for the future is, I think the European Union of the future will be an association of far-right parties. And I think they'll take back some of the national control from Brussels. I think they'll reduce the number of people working in Brussels and the power that Brussels has. It'll be more like a kind of council where representatives from the EU countries meet to discuss relevant issues. But that's the way it's going. It's a shame, really. England could have been part of this. It could have been part of the new EU, because we badly need it as well. But there is one little difference here. We do not have the political movement that these countries I've mentioned have.
Raymond, thank you for your call in. An interesting idea there, a European Union of far-right,
Interesting idea. It's happening.
It's an axis, if you like. Going off the lines again, 952-78-4000. Thank you for holding, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Charles. Good morning, panel and people.
Good morning, Cameron. Good morning, Cameron.
One of these days you'll remember. What it is, Charles, the money that's being promised to the EU, was that agreed at what exchange rate? Was that in euros or was it in pounds? Because if the exchange rate has dropped by 20%, we're now paying 20% more, or promised to pay 20% more if it was in euros. The other thing is on the referendum. When the changes, when they're voting for, and know the accuracies, if I can put it that way, of what they were told before, yes, there should be another referendum, there should be another vote. There's votes every 5 years or so in the UK and in every other country, so why should there not be a repeat vote? That's these 2 points.
Thank you, Campbell, and I'm sure I'll get your name right one day. But thank you for the call in there. Drive carefully. Just to bring you some breaking news. It's a sports news story, excuse me, but Jose Mourinho, Manchester United say that manager Jose Mourinho has left the club with immediate effect. So that's breaking news as the special one leaves Manchester United. Away from that, Rosalind, you want to come back on some points there?
Yeah, just one point that Alf said, that the Brexiteers are getting exactly what they wanted, but I don't see it from the people I speak to and have spoken to in the last 2 years, because they have this vision of going back to being part of the empire and trading internationally with their ex-colonies. But Theresa May got no response, no promises from anybody she went to visit, including Japan, although that wasn't an ex-colony. And the pound has gone down. As for and making your own decisions, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the parliamentary 89% of parliamentary decisions are made within the Britain, in the British Parliament, not the EU. And the speaker the caller who just said the immigration is approximately 300,000, and a large percentage of that are students. They're educated students, and in many cases, exchange students. So, yes, they do come from India.
I'm again live on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Well, apologies. It's just a very, very quick reply to my chum Hans. Just to say, I think the EU is democratic. And what are the problem is, it's too democratic. And I'll give you a situation which has always irritated me, that you have probably a loss of anywhere up to 100 billion of money lost to the EU via this corporate tax fiddles. I mean, we all know that Amazon, everything Amazon sells in Europe and the UK is booked through the Luxembourg of only 500,000 people. And the two main countries that facilitate it are Republic of Ireland and Luxembourg. Now, Germany and France, a few weeks ago, tried to get something through where they would charge 3% on internet purchases. And because it is too democratic, Ireland, both Ireland and Luxembourg said no. But then, to me, it's always seemed strange to me that in many cases you have to have 100% agreement. I'd have thought democracy would be 75 or 60, 40%. And that's why very little gets done there. And that's the situation. I think, you know, if you knew just how much money has been fiddled off, and it's thousands of corporate companies who've used and abused the system. The EU stood back and done absolutely bugger all, and includes the UK. And now when they start to make a change, it gets vetoed by the Republic of Ireland and Luxembourg. I think it's going to change, though. I think they're going to get it through, and they change some things where they have a majority, more of a majority in much many more things. And it's regarding the European Parliament. I know I hate the Commission, but it is elected. But the Parliament, I watch the Parliament in rainy days in London, and they're much more akin to what I think myself. And they get very frustrated, and they're very, very tough, but they've got very little power.
Thank you for your call in.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
And we're going straight to the lines. Thank you for holding. Thank you for holding, caller. Who's calling?
No problem. I think I've only got about a minute. It's Sharon I County.
You've got 2 minutes and 15.
Okay, cheers. Just to say that it's great to hear John say that it is a democratic institution. I think Raymond has a point. The EU existed before the euro. The euro may well tank. If the euro tanks, Europe will rejig itself. I don't think it's going to go to the right in the way that Raymond thinks it is, because I keep seeing little grains, green shoots, as you might say, appearing that are actually anti-right. If you look at Italy, there was a demonstration the other day that was the new immigration laws brought in by the new right I won't say far right, but right. In Hungary, there was an anti-Orban march the other day, yesterday, whenever it was. People are starting to rear up and realising that these right parties that are getting in are not what they really, really want, as the Spice Girls would say. In Germany, we had the Green Shoots, the Green Party elected and did quite well. And finally, John, don't be so pessimistic. The world isn't going to crash. I think Raymond's right. The EU will survive. They did a huge trade deal with Japan that amounting to about a third of the world's GDP the other day. So something we're highly unlikely to get over the next few years. Thank you, Giles. Cheers.
Thank you. I never thought I'd hear you quoting the Spice Girls on Viewpoints, but there
can
you...
Can we have Johnny Be Good?
Yeah, we can. I'm sure we can have Johnny Be Good at some point in our show. Thanks for the calls in the panel. We've got about 30 seconds before the news. Anybody want to come back on any of the points that we've made?
I'm going to keep on saying it because it's the truth. Politics is about the art of the possible, nothing else. If you haven't got power, you can't do anything. So these right-wing parties are popping up all over the show. Of course, they're having an influence. They're making people think again. I'm not sure Sweden, by the way, was one vote, you know, the right party, because it's a collective parliament. So it may have been they were one vote away from being a majority party, but they weren't one vote away from taking power.
Those bongos mean that we've come to the end of the first half of Viewpoints, international national news, and then back with more. Stay tuned.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment. Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Back with the last Viewpoint of 2018 with you for the next 54 minutes or so, talking current issues. Also going to be looking back at the year, some highlights from the year, and the main story you think the year was, and also casting our minds forward, or casting our thoughts forward to what we think 2019 will bring. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp us on +34 645 99 67 95. I'm going to have a quick look.
And you can also what's right up us if you're very
right, thank you, Elf.
Just, I know you
can
want
I
to go
finish
on
doing
to,
my introduction?
No,
honestly,
because there's some
Brewer.
Stuff that was said before that really needs.
Yeah, I'm just going to
go. Okay, but it's Rosalind said. I want to correct. You know, you cannot say things on the air that are incorrect without being challenged.
Fine, but I'd like to be able to do my introduction before I actually get to that point.
Do your introduction, and I'll talk about Indian students in England.
Right, okay. Okay, then. Thank you. I know that everybody's quick off the mark today. I've got a caller online. I've got some emails coming in there. So it's good to know we're all out there. And obviously in a festive... Let's get all the thing out before we can all relax and be festive, shall we, for the next 55 minutes. Blimey, put me in my place. Listen, Mourinho's gone. They could be waiting for you at Manchester United. No. Right then. So 952-78-4000. All right, thank you. 952-78-4000 is... Never said anything about this on the job application. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. And you can WhatsApp us on +34 645 99 67 95. Joined in the studio, in case you hadn't guessed by now, by Alf Brewer, Roslyn Scott-Gibb and Claudio De La Torre. But first of all, we're going to go to the emails and the WhatsApps from the first hour of the morning. Excuse me for not getting to you sooner. For starting off with, does Alf think the public were fully informed before voting? That's from Joy, I think, unless she said that's Joy. Richard's come in and said, I'll come back to your betting odds but at the end of the show, Richard, but saying, relax, Alf, we won't leave. A different question will be asked in the second referendum. It won't be a rerun, etc. And also another one saying, you go on about EU trade deficits like just for John, like Trump, deficits are not bad. The US economy is pretty good and the banks are strong. Factually incorrect. Non-EU immigration has been spoken about loads of times, even by Uncle Nige. One in from Pauline saying, British people do not feel European, do not like being dictated to by the German government and the sidekick French. End the story and result of the people's vote to leave. It's called democracy. That's Pauline. And finally from Jay, the overall turnout for EU referendum was 72.21. Many people didn't bother voting as they thought it was a fait accompli that Remain would win. Many people voted leave based on the lies. There'd be more money for the NHS, etc. And many, sadly, for xenophobic reasons. There was no set Brexit, which was voted for, and no one voted to be poorer. Give us a people's vote. What are the leavers so scared of? And finally, this one in from, let me just check, this one in from N from York, which which says, we tried to deliver your Brexit. You were lied to, and your country Brexit, good old days before the foreigners came, could not be delivered to you because it doesn't exist. Turns out they don't need us more than we need them. And that is a spoof on the Royal Mail. There's also a picture of a unicorn in there. I think a unicorn box can tick. So there you go. Thank you, York. Right then. Call on the line. 952-78-4000. Good morning. Calling you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? And thank you for holding.
Hello, is it me?
Yes, indeed. Yes, it is indeed you.
These are from Mazaron. Okay, right. Now, I've been talking to people here, English people, that voted to come out of Europe, but now they've changed their minds. They want to go back in. They want a referendum. They're praying to go back in. They're switching the radio off. They're switching the telly off. They can't listen to the news anymore because everything goes on their nerves. They just don't want to carry on. It's terrible, terrible, terrible.
Okay, thank you for that viewpoint. Thank you very much for that one, indeed.
Yeah, well, I could say 1,000 other things, but I want to bore you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for calling in. Have a good Christmas. Another call online. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hiya, Giles. Is that would that be I?
Yeah, it would be you, Jason.
I don't know if I can follow that one. Let's get something clear. The immigration issue was only a part issue of this thing. It was just an underlying thing. The thrust of the argument was that people knew exactly what they're voting for. They wanted to leave. They wanted their independence back. That has not changed. The posturing by the Remain side, trying to manipulate the situation as ever, basically saying, oh, we didn't know what we were voting for. Well, that's nonsense. And another referendum would be flawed. It would not be fair because quite understandably, there'll be apathy, disillusion amongst the Brexiteers. Having voted once, why the hell should they vote again? You just keep going till you get, excuse me. You keep going till you get the answer you want, like they did in Ireland. That's clearly not fair, is it? And if there was another referendum, when the Brexiteers asked for another referendum if they lost, would you say, no, thanks very much, we've got the result now, the door's closed, we've got the result we want, so, excuse me, a coughing fit going on. But basically, we can't have another referendum, we've done it. If the boot was on the other foot, and somebody told you, having voted, let's do it all again just to get the result we want, you'd say no, wouldn't you?
Jason, thanks for the call in. 952-78-4000. Pan, I'll come back on this and then we're going to move on from Brexit for a meantime.
Okay, can I?
Yeah, you can.
Because I do want to come back on this. Because this is why they got it wrong in the vote over leaving the EU. You can't quote things that are not true. Nobody from the, it's called the Indian subcontinent, not India. It includes Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and all of those. And the students that we go and recruit from there, because they bring a pile of money into the UK, come in on visas. They are not counted as immigrants. So you can't say that the 284,000 that came in non-EU, lots of them were students. Not true. Completely not true. And ever since we've been part of the EU, there have been more non-EU people coming into the UK than people from the EU. year on year on year. And people say, well, why don't you do anything about it? Well, that's because we choose these people because they bring quality to the UK, and they bring, who's going to pick, you know, no disrespect, who's going to pick the strawberries and the tomatoes? Who's going to gut the fish? Who's going to pluck the chickens out in the, you know, we have Portuguese, Italians. Italians make the shoes, or used to. In Peterborough, I can't say how many times we have to say this. Immigration in the UK has sort of been controlled, but it's been controlled by industry. What you had when we went into the EU, and in its early days, is you had a flood of people from Poland coming in, undercutting and undermining British builders. Jason made a point, you know, and I will keep on saying this. Apathy. It's not just about apathy. What you'll do is, if you have a second referendum, all those kids that turned out in that last referendum, they're the ones who will say, it's not worth it. You didn't listen to it last time. However they voted is irrelevant. I voted last time. You didn't listen to my vote. Therefore, it's not worth taking part. And my final bit on this is, so someone talks about this trade stuff and about people as if the UK are alone in all this immigration. Spain have arrangements with many South American countries because they were Spanish. Germany has a great relationship with Turkey. They needed Turkish workers for their car and heavy industry. America has Mexico and South Americans, you know, not the illegal immigrants. And that's what people are mixing up. When the Indian students come to the UK on visas, the complication is they don't go home when their visa runs out. That doesn't make them immigrants. That makes them illegal immigrants. And what you then don't do is you don't invest enough money in inspectors and arrangements in the UK to chase them down and send them back. Why is that? Well, because these people, as Rosalind says, they're intelligent, they're part of the community, they add to what we do. That's why you allow them to stay. Wrongly, but that's, you allow them to stay. So don't count illegal immigrants in with immigrants.
Rosalind, quick point before
okay, just, yeah, I was just going to say that in my understanding that the number 300,000 has not increased since 2015 when we had the influx of refugees. The UK has not increased the number of immigrants it's allowed in.
Thank you. Right, going live to the lines, 952-78-4000. Good morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Yeah, the people that require or would like to see a second vote should be very careful what they wish for. I don't pretend to know what the outcome of that vote would be, but it will take a long time to process that and get to a point where we can have another vote. And as I've said before, I'm a firm believer from day one that nothing will change, regardless of whether they go in or whether they go out or stay in. Nothing will change. They will change the questions, as I've said before. They will set the questions so that they will get the answer they require. You will never get the same as you did before, a yes or no, simple. That will not happen. So it will not be a re-vote on the same question. It will be different vote on different questions. Now, the longer it takes to get to that point, to take that vote, in the meantime, the world is going to slip more and more. As John mentioned earlier, John and I have always been aligned on our thoughts on the economy. And I think I was jumping in out of the car. I think Sharon said that the economy wasn't going to tank. Well, we all know, and this is not conspiracy theories, we all know that economies are cyclical. And they're cyclical for a reason, because governments interfere. They set interest rates. Now, they say, whoever they are, the elites are, America is supposed to be having a reasonable good time with their economy at the moment. I disagree. I don't think they are. Now, they are starting to raise interest rates. Now, the Federal Reserve should raise interest rates or decrease interest rates or keep them the same on data. The data doesn't fit. They're also given forward guidance, same as in Europe. And Europe have just stopped printing money as of this month. Now, as interest rates rise, you turn down the economy. They are raising interest rates as we speak, which is tanking the economy. And as I said before, and I think I put the phone down at the end of the conversation, you said, Giles, at the time, opening the door for QE3. which is exactly what I said before. You never get interest rates back to where they were before when you go through a printing program. They will not be able to get interest rates up to where they are. They are increasing interest rates in America at the moment. Everybody around the world, emerging markets, have been lending in dollars. Their interest payments are going up. Their currency is tanking. In Europe, Europe will be just like Japan. And as of predictions for the next, and getting back to my original point, if you wait 6, 8, 9 months for another vote, in 6, 8, 9 months, the world is going to look horrendously different. The economy will have fallen off of a cliff and start to. Now, Trump is up for re-election in 2 years' time, and there's a good chance he'll get in. And that's one of the reasons why they're going to whack up those interest rates and turn down the economy. And in 2 years' time, they'll be able to say, look at the state of the world, all down to Trump, all down to his tariffs. Well, if you remember prior to WTO, we had GATT, which was a world without tariffs because so many tariffs tanked the economy back in the 30s. So Trump's on the right track there, I believe. So we're moving to horrendous times, very horrendous times. And my prediction for 2019, I predicted the rise of the right a few years ago. Now I predict the rise of the yellow coats right across Europe, not just in France. And also, I think you'll see Deutsche Bank move from the financial pages to the front pages. Now, already in Germany, they're trying to change the law, tax laws. They want to merge Commerzbank with Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank is systemically the largest bank in the world, the most important bank in the world. Trillions of dollars of derivatives. They are in serious, serious trouble, and they are about to go under. They might force them into Commerzbank, the same as Lloyds was forced in with was RBS, I believe, at the time, and Barclays went under for the same reasons. We are moving into some horrendous times, and Europe, in 9 months' time, might be begging the UK, and it would be in a lot different position. And a lot of UK citizens might be thinking, do you know what? I don't want to be part of Europe if it's going to be like that. So be careful what you wish for if you want another vote. So I'll leave you on that, and Merry Christmas to you all.
Thank you very much, Peter, and Merry Christmas to you. Going to the lines again. Good morning, Cool. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you coming from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Casablanca.
Yes, Kate.
On facts. Versus between Alf and Rosalind on immigration statistics. I heard very recently that May had refused to exclude students from the immigration statistics. So either Alf is right or Rosalind is right. I think that Rosalind is right. Secondly, the EUK has always had the power, before and after joining the EEC, then the EU, to control immigration. It has chosen not to. It has continually not implemented the powers that he had within the EU. It's so to blame EU membership for immigration is, I think the technical term, polite term, is a categorical error. I put something stronger myself, but you wouldn't know it.
Thank you very much for calling. We're going to move away from Brexit now for a couple of minutes. I want to look at what's happening in Catalonia and the Barcelona. What's going to be happening in Barcelona on the 21st. Back after this.
We let our programs do the talking. Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively, a little bit festive today as well, the last one of 2000, certainly more unruly than we've had before, the last one of 2018, joined in the studio by Alf Brewer, Roslyn Scott-Gibb and Claudia De La Torre. 952-784-1000 is the phone number, studio at tre.radio is the email, the Facebook page. Is Talk Radio, the Facebook page is Talk Radio Official. The WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Just going to see what's got, looking at the emails. Okay. I'll come back to those in a minute. We're going to look away from Brexit, for a moment. We're going to be looking at what's been happening in Catalonia because the 21st of December is a date to, that could have significant impact in the Catalan struggle for independence. Claudia, just tell us a little bit about what's going on with the CDR, or the CDR calling for a battle on the 21st in Barcelona. What's happening in Barcelona on the 21st, first off?
Well, on the 21st in Barcelona, the current government wants to hold the Council of Ministers, which is the weekly reunion of ministers where they give announcements or sign laws. So they want to do that in Barcelona. And that has received a negative response from the separatists, because they see it as a provocation that they should celebrate it, especially on the 21st of December, which is a year after the elections last year, which were imposed by the central government. So there's been a lot of tension in Catalonia, especially as the president of Catalonia says he wanted the Slovakian model, Slovenian model of independence, which resulted in a 10-day war and 60 people dead, which sparked off the Balkan War. So there's been that has caused a huge outcry from all the political parties, left and right, that the Catalan president should be saying that the Slovenian way was appropriate for Catalonia, when that was exactly what sparked the Balkan War in the 90s, when Slovenia declared unilateral independence from the Yugoslavia, and then that caused a... So even the president of Slovenia has asked the Catalan president not to use their country as an example, because they want to try and say and compare it and say that they're in the same position as Slovenia was during Yugoslavia, but it has absolutely nothing to do, because it was a country that was in a dictatorship, a cruel dictatorship, and it has nothing to do with Catalonia, which is in a democracy. So trying to compare the two and saying that independence movement, which resulted in a horrible war, is a completely responsible thing to do.
You could, but the Pedro Sanchez and his government, this could be seen as an interesting move by putting this in Barcelona. It's been a flashpoint before. 9,000 officers deployed on the streets ahead of this. This Friday. And also the CDR saying, and quote unquote, the revolution of smiles is over. Now is the time for action. I mean, this could really
very dangerous. What's going on, especially as the Mossos d'Esquadra, which is the regional police, they've already been they've been sent letters of warning, because these CDR violent groups, they're sabotaging and blocking roads. And the regional police that's under the Catalan government has refused to do any action. They turn the blind eye. So the opposition parties are calling for the government to intervene Catalonia again and to re-establish the order of law and the constitution and enforce the constitution. However, the government of Pedro Sanchez, he is there thanks to the votes of the Catalan separatists. So yeah, the Pedro Sanchez, the trouble is he said two very big lies this year. He said firstly that he'd do the motion of no confidence, and he promised to call elections and not govern. So he did the motion of no confidence, and then he said, no, sorry, no elections, I'm staying to govern. Then a few months before, he said that he'd never pact with the separatists to come to power, and he did. He came to the power with the separatists. So people are very angry that all he has done is contradictions and lies since he arrived. Of course, he's a politician. That's what it's all about. But there's more and more calls for the constitution to be enforced, because they're saying that these violent groups in Catalonia, they're being supported by the president. The president has openly said that he supports these groups. He says that even his family are involved in these separatist groups. And they keep disobeying the law. However, the government has their hands tied, because they depend on their votes to govern. So there's more and more tension every time.
And of course, as well, there are at the moment pro-independence Catalan leaders who are currently on hunger strike in prison.
Oh, they are indeed, which adds to more tension because now in January the trial is starting, and they're doing a hunger strike supposedly because they say that their rights are not being respected or upheld, which is not true because they have the same rights as all people that are in prison. They try and say this victimist thing that they're political prisoners, which no country has said they are, not even the European Union, not the United Nations. It's a lie. For example, in Venezuela, Maduro, there they are political prisoners, and the international community has recognized that there's been terrible human rights violations in Venezuela, and they have asked for the liberation of these prisoners. But it's not the case with these Catalan leaders who are in, they say that they're in jail without a trial, but they're under preventive prison, which is normal in any country. The trial's in January. Before there's a trial, there's always a period of instruction for the court case, and they have to prepare the court case, the witnesses, prepare the accusation. So they will have their trial now in January. It will be a trial that will be live on television, so everyone will be able to see that trial.
Is this for treason, for life?
For rebellion and sedition. Yeah, it could be considered treason. The accusations, so also in resembling public funds for the legal referendum, there's a series of accusations. That's what they've been accused. It doesn't necessarily mean they'll be condemned for those actions. Maybe part of them will be accused, will be sentenced, others not. That's yet to see. That's why there's a trial that's going to last several months. It's going to be a long trial with all the legal guarantees, the constitutional guarantees that they have. And but yeah, the separatist movement is trying to make them martyrs to gain attention, because they have tried for years to gain international support, and they have spent millions of public money going to Europe on paying for adverts in the press to try and gain support for their independence cause. Yet no country has supported them. When they declared the Catalan Republic last year, all the countries of the European Union, the United States, Latin America, they all supported the Spanish government and the constitutional order in Spain, because without the constitutional order, that's absolute chaos and anarchy. The constitution is the basic fundamental law that guarantees the rights of all these people. And yeah, it's so, yeah, now we're seeing in Catalonia how it's reached a desperate phase, because the separatist parties there confronted in the parliament in Catalonia, there have been one whole year and they haven't approved a single law, because they can't legislate. So there's growing discontent, growing, and the problem now is that the president, he just wants to be president, whatever it takes. He promised that he'd call a general election after the motion of no confidence that booted out Mariano Rajoy. He hasn't done that. He's stayed in power. He needs the separatist votes for the budget. He has no votes for the budget, which is imminent. So they're using the previous government's budget, which he voted against and said it was terrible. And also they lost, the socialists after 36 years lost power in Andalusia, which has been extremely historic after all the terrible corruption scandals. So of course there's been corruption both left and right, but in Andalusia it's been going on continuously for 36 years, and it's the biggest corruption scandal in Spain, and we're talking about thousands, not hundreds, thousands of millions of euros. So there is growing discontent, and obviously within the Socialist Party now there's a lot of worry that Sanchez and his policy in Catalonia is going to affect them in the local and European elections, which are in May. And the regional presidents, 6 out of 7, did not support Sanchez in a year and a half ago when the Socialist Party booted him out. But then there was a leadership contest, and the the party members voted him in. So he has enemies in his own party. So, but yeah, most people agree that the general elections most likely will be next year, not in May, because there's the regional. It would be too much to put in local. The regional in Andalusia was in December, but for the rest of Spain, except Catalonia, for 15 other regions, they'll be in May. So the elections are soon. There's major discontent with Catalonia and that the president is turning a blind eye and isn't taking action to put order, and the threats from the separatist groups, they're asking for action. So, on Friday, we'll see what happens in Barcelona. It will be interesting because the separatist groups have asked no violence because it will harm their cause if these anarchist separatist groups cause havoc. It will give them a terrible image and it won't do any favors to the separatist movement. So they're all asking for them to be civilized, at least.
Be civilized, but this is going to be an interesting Friday in Barcelona. Panel, the rest of your panel, let's have some thoughts from you. Roslyn, your thoughts on what you just heard with Claudio's?
Well, it's so complex. I'm just kind of taking it all in. I was just going to ask, though, whether the dissidents are being threatened with, like, 4 years in prison, but not life, not treason. I mean, I suppose that's good, is it?
Well, the accusations are different for each one. Some can face up to 20 or 25 years in jail, the leaders of the rebellion. However, it's very unlikely that they will be sentenced to that. And even if they do, even murderers don't spend 20 years in prison. And also that people are very worried because they fear that the current socialist government will give a pardon to the separatist leaders in order for them to stay in power. However, that would terribly harm the socialists. As we've seen, for example, the polls are saying that the right-wing alliance of three parties of PP, Ciudadanos and Vox will topple the socialists, which didn't win the elections. Let's not forget that the current president lost the elections twice with the worst historical results for the Socialist Party in Spain. Plus in Andalusia, they had another humiliating defeat. So that's why within people are concerned. And this whole Catalonia thing is the new far-right party, Vox, however one wants to put it, are growing in the polls, and they're saying they'd get up to 17 seats in parliament. So that's obviously worrying the socialists.
Interesting. Rosalind, I just want to go back to a point you made. You said that Sanchez, contradictions and lies, he's a politician, that's what it's all about. And that is perhaps why you are seeing the rise of parties like Vox, because people are getting fed up with what they perceive as a political elite.
Completely, from the left and the right.
Extreme corruption, of course. But what's the best that can happen from this, that can come out of it?
Of what do you mean?
Of this on Friday.
Well, I don't think anything good or bad can happen, because what we're going to see is the reaction of the separatists and to see if there's peaceful demonstrations. If the separatists demonstrate peacefully and they don't cause any damage or they don't cause any disruption, fine. There'll be the reunion and it will all go well. However, if there is a clash and they do cause disruption, well, it will reflect very negatively both on the separatists and the socialist government, which see it as a provocation. That's why they've sent more police, because there's security fears. And the regional police, they don't fully trust them, because, for example, last year they were supposed to stop the legal referendum. They had court orders and they didn't. So I think there's a lot of that no one trusts anyone. And some see it as the separatists see it as a provocation. However, the socialists say that it's a gesture towards Catalonia, and that they're doing it to, when they haven't, it's the first time in 40 years that they've celebrated it in Barcelona. They did it in Sevilla, but obviously there it didn't cause any problem because there's no issue.
So the separatists, the goal is to cause chaos peacefully.
Well, yes. they want to cause disruption, and how they have done before by cutting roads and in the infrastructures, paralyzing it to revindicate their actions, but their agenda. However, the separatist party, everyone's agreeing that there can't be any violence or there can't be any disruption, because that will just justify that there should be an intervention in Catalonia and that the national police should take over.
And I think, well, Claudio's done the absolute epitome of what I've said. Politics is about the art of the possible. It's only possible if you're in power. Sanchez got power given to him on a plate. Why would he call an election? With all due respect, you know, Democrats or otherwise, somebody says, here, have some power. The first time you've had it for a few years, and by the way, first time you've had it, you probably don't deserve it, but you've got it. And he goes, oh, I better call an election now so that I can give it back to somebody else, because that's what would have happened. I don't think, you know, I'm not into much of the politics, but I don't think what happened in Andalusia is a reflection on Sanchez, but it is a major reflection on the corruption stuff that's, it's been in all of the British press, even irrespective of the Spanish stuff. It's been all over the show, so it's a big issue in Andalusia. And also, Sanchez, you know, he didn't deal with the separatists. Well, he's dealing with the separatists in his own way. And yes, he might need their votes, so he's going to deal with them in that way, isn't he? Because he wants to retain power. Here's an issue for Brits, though, just so that we understand, you know, Talk Radio does this programme. There's got to be, so why are we Brits into this? Well, actually, somebody said earlier, this is probably the last opportunity for expats to be able to vote in local elections in Spain if we leave the EU. Because if and when, they can't guarantee us voting, because it would be illegal in international law. So this is probably the last time. All you need to be is a resident in Spain and on the padrón, go to the town hall and say, I want to vote. And you will get a vote. And I've been told now that you don't even have to go, because it's difficult enough in the UK to go to a polling station, but you don't even have to go to a polling station. You can go, most of them are libraries, but you can actually do it in a much easier way in Spain than we could in the UK. So my little plea to the Brits is, don't sit on the sidelines. We want Spanish authorities, whatever we think of them politically, we want Spanish authorities to look after us and to help us and to smooth things out. Well, give a bit back. Get participating. Vote in the elections. I will say this because I am a member of PSOE anyway, and I think Sanchez is doing a good job.
We go live to the lines. Good morning, caller. Thank you for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Felix.
Good morning, Felix.
Just in reply to Ralph, sir, this is not about, this Catalonia issue is not about local elections at all. It's an issue which is quite separate from Brits voting in a local election. This is about something about the whole destiny of Spain and Catalonia. And to talk, as Alf has been talking there for several minutes about local elections, that really is a diversion from this major issue now that is coming up on Spain. John last week asked a chap there from Spain, what was the difference between the situation in Catalonia and the situation in Scotland? And you know, he didn't answer. He said that there was a penal code in Spain, but not in Britain. But that's no answer at all. It's just an evasion. So again, what is the difference? Bye.
Thank you for your call in there. 952-784-1000. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Sharon Ali Candy.
Yes,
just
Sharon.
To update Alf, on Bob's news yesterday, Spain and the UK have signed a bilateral agreement such that even if there's no deal, we will be able to vote in UK citizens in Spain and Spanish citizens in the UK will be able to vote in local elections.
Next year.
Well,
not beyond next year. It's because the local elections are after May, after March.
As I understand it, Alf, the longer term. That will be a bilateral agreement.
Honestly, they've said the guarantee is you'll be able to vote in local elections this coming year because the local elections are after March the 29th. So they've guaranteed the vote for that year.
If I can leap in here, because I'm just looking at, according to our media partners, El País, they say, and the story reads, Madrid and London are negotiating for a bilateral treaty to maintain local voting rights for 280,000 British nationals living in Spain and the more than 115,000 Spanish living in the UK. On March 30th, 2019, Britain, which we know about, whether or not the British Prime Minister secures parliamentary approval for Brexit deal, UK nationals will no longer be considered UK citizens. The agreement on the transition period, UK citizens in Spain will preserve most of their rights intact until December 2020.
Apologies to Alf if it was only till 2020.
Right.
I didn't realise that. Can I just one very quick point?
Yeah.
Peter, I don't know whether you misheard me on purpose, but I did actually say that the euro would tank. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. 952-784-1000 is the phone number. Got another caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Can I just one very quick point?
Hello, you're live on TRE.
Hello.
Hi, can you turn your radio down because we can hear it in the background?
Yeah, sorry, say that again.
Can you turn your radio down because we can hear it in the background?
Yeah, it's my phone. Yeah, I'm just trying to...
Okay.
Okay.
You're listening on the app, presumably.
Hello.
So you're live on TRE.
Yeah, the Felix calling in about this, the difference between Spain and Catalonia. Scotland. Scotland are allowed by the Constitution of Britain, or by the rules of Britain, to have a referendum. The difference is in Spain, by the Constitution of Spain, as I understand it, they cannot have a referendum anywhere unless the whole of Spain agree to them having a referendum. So there's no similarity whatsoever.
Thank you.
No, there is. There is a similarity. Scotland were allowed by the whole of the UK, by the British government, were allowed to have a referendum only in Scotland. In Spain, the Spanish government would have to allow them to have a referendum, but the referendum itself would have to involve the whole of Spain. That's the difference. It's about who participates in the vote.
Claudio.
Going back to the local elections, there's an interesting thing that must be said. They are, in local elections in Spain, all EU citizens are allowed to vote, and also foreigners from countries where there are treaties. For example, there are some countries, Latin American citizens who live here are allowed to vote, plus from some other countries, for example, Chinese and Moroccans can't, even if they're legal citizens, because there's no bilateral agreement. However, if they do reach an agreement, the UK and Spain, eventually they'll be able to vote even past Brexit. So it's just a thing to say. And also I encourage people to vote in May, that it's important. People, British citizens, pay their taxes here, they live here, so I think people should definitely go out and vote.
Looking at countries with voting rights, I have a piece of paper or a bit of information in front of me. Countries with voting rights, on May the 26th, 2019, the citizens of 39 countries, besides Spanish themselves, will be able to vote in local elections. The other 27 member states of the EU, plus Norway, Iceland, Cape Verde, New Zealand, South Korea, Bolivia, Chile, Colombia, Ecuador, Paraguay, Peru, and Trinidad and Tobago. So there you go. That's your full list.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively Viewpoint Talk Radio. It's current affairs programme with a panel of invited guests discussing the issues of the day. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 996795. Joined in the studio by Alf Brewer, Rosin Scott Gibb, and Claudio De La Torre. Into the last 6 minutes or so of the programme, we have our caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, James. Is that me again?
Yeah, it's you again,
James. All right, listen, Alf and Mr. Ritson, I don't always agree what they say, but I do respect their conviction in their beliefs. I've got a concern at the moment. The far right is growing across Europe, all right? That's on one side, and I wonder if it's because people feel disenfranchised with politicians and disillusioned in general. I wonder if there's a connection there. But also, in a governing sense, the Europe, for example, is becoming more and more dictatorial. We're talking about having a military. The French president said this. So I'm concerned on both fronts that we're going down a road which is not a good place to be. I want to put that to the panel.
Thank you for your call in there, Jason. 952-78-4000. Anybody come back on that post?
Well, the far right growing is, I suppose it depends where you stand on that sort of an issue, Jason. Are they growing because of? I think, talking to a lot of my Spanish friends, they all, seriously, and you know, being a socialist, I have a different conversation. But they would love to go back to having a Franco-style dictatorship where people tell them what to do. So rather than being asked their opinion, they like to be led. So I think there's an awful lot of people in the world who are quite, you know, when Farage gets something, says it, or you know, whoever it is who gets something, says, do this, people will follow. And it's you know, about follow the leader rather than, well, I'm the leader, but what do you think I should do?
Well, I'd be amazed if people in reality want that. They may think they want that in theory back in the good old days, whatever that was. But, I mean, look at Hungary at the moment. They've got a dictatorship, and he's saying, well, you know, you should be doing 400 extra hours of overtime. And they're rebelling. I mean, they're seriously rebelling. It's day five of it, and that's just one example, isn't it? So, as somebody else said, careful what you wish for.
I'm looking at the email just coming in there. This is on a previous thing from Simon Welsh saying, I'm listening to your excellent program in the UK, thank you, where I live. I voted to leave. Watching the negotiation progress has further entrenched my desire to leave, as I've seen the true face of the arrogant, inflexible EC. I and nearly all my friends and family are fed up with financially subsidising these hopeless, lazy EC members who are takers, not contributors. Enough. No deal seats us just fine. Just coming in there. Also coming in on the WhatsApp. Oh dear, Alf, no one wants a Franco-style dictatorship. And the WhatsApp, come on, talk to me, WhatsApp, here we go. No one's, not even in North Korea. Thank you for that one. And just on another note, been sent in some predictions for 2019. Next Tory leader, Boris Johnson, 6-1, Javid, 15-2, Rab, 15-2, Hunt, 9-1, Gove, 11-1. UK to leave the EU by the 29th of next year, 29th of March. Yes, 8-5, no, 7-4. And the Prime Minister after May. Jezza, it says here, 5-1. Bozo, 7-1. Javid, 9-1. Rabs, 10-1. Gove, is 11-1. And Hunt, 12-1. Fancy putting a bet on anybody for the next Prime Minister?
None of them. I would like to just address the question that I asked my panel members of whoever said we couldn't have a second referendum.
No. Well, Nobody has sued.
Nobody.
Nobody has
sued. So why
said
is there such a big argument against having a second referendum?
Because we have so few referendums in this in the UK. In fact, there are so few referendums in the world. If you end up, you become referendum mad. Every single issue that somebody thinks is important, we'll have to have a referendum.
Well, no, having a second referendum on a huge major issue and the most important issue in 200 years is not going to become a referendum on every small issue that happens along.
There was a referendum. It had a result. Get over it.
No, not getting over it. I think now that people have more facts and information, the least we can do is find out how the people think 2 years later. Don't assume anything.
They've got no more facts today than they had when they had the referendum.
Of course they do.
No, they don't. Because
they have the reality of living on a much lower
ICL
pound.
That runs it says it'll be 20 weeks. It's about 20 weeks until you can have another referendum. That's the process. In that time, all these people will come out. Boris Johnson will come out again and say, we've still got all this money for the NHS. Gove will come out and say, oh, we can put more money into
Well, hopefully the public will be more educated.
Not more educated than they were last time.
Exactly,
Where they swallowed all that.
But no one knows what the Brexit deal is going to be. No. If there was a second referendum, I'd say fine, but in a few years when they see the result of Brexit. But I think now it's too early when no one knows the outcome.
That'll be way too late. They won't get back in that easily.
Right then. Viewpoint leaving as we start 2019. Thank us live and lively as always. I think we can agree on what the major story was for this year, next year, and probably the year after. I'd like to thank my panel, Claudia De La Torre.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you, everyone.
And Elf.
And a great 2019 to everybody.
And just remember, a referendum is for life, not just Christmas. Stephen Ritson, up next.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.